WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Be ye not sad. There are still several hunting opportunities available. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of February 20th and 21st. A sad Saturday indeed, as the small game season for gray squirrel and cottontail rabbit draws to a close. Same goes for winter bow season for whitetails in certain deer management zones around the state. Last chance to put some venison in the freezer. Whew, that was basically, what, a six-month season? Archery, shotgun, muzzleloader. Wow, man, a lot of deer hunting opportunities in the state. However, still some opportunities to get out there in the woods with the coyote, gray fox, and red fox season still going on. And also the conservation order for snow geese and light geese. That is still happening. Both permits are required for both. Go to njfishandwildlife.com. I think they're $2 each. Now, speaking of permits, the Spring Gobbler Lottery Permit applications are still being accepted through this Monday, February 22nd. Again, $2 non-refundable fee applications are available at license issuing agents or on the Division of Fish and Wildlife website. Again, njfishandwildlife.com. Deadline for claiming the permits is March 24th. Hey, man, we have a really jammed show coming up. Paul Hartel, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, with the two options for the summer flounder season. Yeah, check it out. Two options, still going to be three fish at 18, two at 16 in Island Beach State Park, three at 17 in Delaware Bay. However, the dates can be important. And also, wrapping it up, will be Sean Krause, supervising biologist, Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries. We're touching on spring is getting here, man, getting here. Freshwater time, the great freshwater fishing opportunities in New Jersey and what is on tap for this spring and summer. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Summer dream jobs do exist. Maurice Piers in Wildwood is now hiring for ride operators, lifeguards, food and beverage, game operators, and more. Flexible hours and part-time positions are available. Positions start at $12 per hour with some big perks, including free rides and slides. Discounts on food and beverage. On-the-spot incentives and more. Maurice Piers is your ticket to the best summer job ever. To learn more and to apply, visit mauricepiers.com/jobs.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, man, Division of Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Marine Fisheries, just came out with the 2021 Recreational Summer Flounder, a.k.a. Fluke Season Options. As I mentioned before, we're locked into three fish at 18, Delaware Bay at 17, you know, three fish 16 inches, Island Beach State Park with two fish. But here, it's the dates. It's the dates are the important thing. Boy, what a schism, north and south. You seen Barnegat Light north? They want this. Barnegat Light south? They want this. That's, I don't think that's ever going to happen. But here are the dates. I'm talking size-wise and stuff in bag limbs. Here are the dates. May 22nd to September 19th. That's status quo, same as 2020. That's what, 120 days or something like that. Status, or date number two. Date number two option, May 28th to September 28th. Gives you a few extra days on the back end, where traditionally there are bigger fluke being caught. But it sucks for me down here being in Southlands. I wanted it early because I have bigger fluke in the back. But here's the main catch. Here's the main catch, pun intended. With that option two, that later date, it's only, what, an 8 or 9 day gap until the opening of that portion of the sea bass season, not the 18 day, which really strangles, really cripples the party boat and charter boat businesses. I want to discuss a little further with Paul Hartel. He is a former president and current board member, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, dynamic group of their base out of, I believe, Point Pleasant, fighting hard, fighting constantly for the rights of Jersey's saltwater anglers. Hey, Paulie, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin, bro.
Yeah, good morning, Tom.
I love, by the way, Paul, thanks for making the adjustment. Here, listeners, we have to say, I try to get Hartel on fairly free. He is just, he's like he's a whirling dervish. He's everywhere, trying to nail him. I got him for the morning here for a few minutes. And we're going to talk, Paul, the summer dates. Now, you put out a press release. Basically, you know, the 2021, rather, recreational summer flounder season options. And I see at all the meetings, Paul, I'm there when I can. There was a definite, you know, difference of opinion geographically in Jersey. you know, for the summer flounder. Your take on these options, status quo last year, although, you know, I like, I'm sort of liking the May 22nd or May 28th rather than September 28th dealio, in that a few extra days on the back end and that gap closing with the opening of the sea bass season. What's your take on it, Paul?
Well, I prefer option two to later season, as does the Jersey Coast Anglers Association. But, you know, to be fair, let me tell you about option one. You know, there are back bay anglers, like you said, that prefer the early season.
Right.
And I was surprised, though. I conducted various polls on Facebook, all the different fluke fishing groups.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the Facebook group called Back Bay Anglers, they favored the later season by a margin of 30 to 18. So I was surprised at that. And all the other groups, and there had to be well over 1,000 responses, they too preferred the later season by a margin of about 2.5 to 1. But at any rate, with the status quo measure, which would begin May 22nd and end September 19th,
right.
Like you do, others enjoy fishing early. You know, they're anxious to get the season started.
Exactly.
They claim there's better fishing in the back bays. And then, some of the smaller marinas, especially in southern New Jersey, say they have a small window to catch fluke. They'd like the season to be earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, they claim that storms often ruin the fishing in September. And I'm sure that that's all true. But, next year, our Bureau of Marine Fisheries is going to be looking at different options with hope of coming up with something that can accommodate everyone. You know, they'll look at splitting a state, or they'll look at splitting it between back bay and ocean fishermen. But
sure.
I'm just not so sure how that will work, but they're doing their best. Our Bureau of Marine Fishery and the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council, they really do their best to accommodate
us. Right.
It's just that their hands are tied.
Exactly,
by
Paul.
Quotas that are set by Atlantic states and mid-Atlantic. So,
and Paul, you mentioned again some of the South Jersey clubs that preferred the later date. My Daily News column, Philadelphia Daily News, this past week, I was surprised. Not surprised, but just wow! I didn't put that end of it. Gina Lawrence, an owner of the Carolyn Ann 3 out of Barnica Light, and Captain Paul Thompson, owner of the Porgy 4 out of Cape May. Now, to me, that's the demarcation, both Barnegat Light and South. That's the South Zone. They were both in favor of option two, May 28th to September 28th. Gina's reasoning that I can't go by the weather because you never know what the weather's going to be. Although, the corollary being, we've seen those first September storms, so the nor'easter usually around September 5th to 10th, 12th, somewhere in there, that just put the kibosh on the flounder in the back bay and inlets anyway. Captain Paul brought up, Tom, there are bigger flounder around. Even a few extra days on the end would probably my fares would probably have a chance. Well, will have a chance and probably will catch bigger fluke, as well as shortening the gap to that sea bass opener.
Right. That's probably the biggest reason I hear. I mean, we got to close that gap. You know, in the spring, sea bass is open on May 15th, so we can fish for them.
Right.
And, you know, if we're fortunate, we have some good-sized stripers, bluefish, and even a black drum, particularly down in South Jersey. And in the last couple springs, there's been some nice wheatfish around, too.
Right.
But on the other hand, in the fall, you know, when fluke ends and sea bass is closed, there's very little for inshore or shore-based fishermen to fish for.
And, Paul, not only does it impact, the bottom line for the party boats and the charter boats, but the anglers, you know, you can get kind of frustrated. Well, there's still some blowfish around, or maybe this or maybe that. But in reality, your rod is may as well just stay, you know, on the rack because there's not really much to go for in that gap.
Right.
And, Paul, that impacts the tackle shops as well.
Yeah. I was also surprised, you know, from the people in southern New Jersey, because some of the larger boats down there said, well, we can't fish in the bay because our boats are too big.
Too big.
So we want the later season so we can have an opportunity to fish as the fluke are migrating offshore on the wrecks and reefs.
And
so Paul, even down there, there's a difference of opinion.
Sure. And, Paul, you know, the the efforts were made to get a little differentiation for Delaware Bay. But unfortunately, the state of Delaware, open season, and they're an inch shorter on the length limit. And again, you see how the frustration mounts. Okay, scenario, people. I live in Collinswood or Cherry Hill or Pennsauken or something. Am I going to drive the hour and a half, whatever it is, to get, for example, Cape May, where you can get up into the bay in some of the bigger boats, not far, but some of the bigger boats you can? Or, and 3 at 18 inches, or am I going to go to Delaware, where it's 3 at 16 inches, same amount of time to get there, and the party boat fare is maybe even less, you know, less expensive. So you see where they're getting whacked, Paul.
Oh, absolutely. I remember, you know, going back a few years when we were forced into the region with New York and Connecticut, and we had to go with the size limit they wanted.
Yep.
And New York was telling everybody, oh, that's because it's not fair that their state has a larger size limit than New Jersey. But all they did is transfer the problem to New Jersey and Delaware. That's why Jersey Coast and other groups fought so hard to get that change, because we wanted the people of southern New Jersey to be able to compete with those in Delaware.
Sure.
So we did that, but then Delaware lowered it further. So that's something we'll have to look at next year. But these are the only options that we have right now, these two options.
Okay,
won't be any others.
Joining us on the line is Paul Hartel, former president and current board member of Jersey Coast Anglers Association. Topic is the 2021 Recreational New Jersey Summer Flounder Season Options. We're going to May 22nd, September 19th, status quo with last year, or May 28th to September 28th. Now, Paul, I received a press release the same time you did regarding the comment period. Now, listen, there's going to be a virtual meeting of the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council, March 4th, a Thursday. Okay, that's coming up. Starts at 5 p.m. I'll give you the website to get on there to register to participate. But, Paul, there is an option now, or not an option, but there are an avenue for public input, correct?
Yes. Yes, what they can do, they can email, and on the top, the subject line, you put 2021 New Jersey Summer Flounder Options,
mm-hmm.
and then you email it to NJ Marine Fish Public Comment at DEP.NJ.gov. And I'll have all this information on the Jersey Coast Anglers Association Facebook page by this evening. And if you do want to comment via email, you have to have your comments in by February 26th.
Right. Now, listen,
and then you'll have another opportunity to comment at the council meeting itself. It will be held via webinar, and you can do so then. That will be on March 4th. It begins at 5 p.m.
And, Paul, here's the thing. I speak to a lot of people at Tom P. It's just that's BS, whatever. They really, you know, consider our comments. They really consider that's the decision's already made. Again, you know, the fix is in, so to speak. But speaking with someone high up in marine fisheries just the other evening, Paul, the public comment is very important. And I know the council members, again, people, they're working for us. They want to do the best they can for the recreational saltwater angler in Jersey. So, you know, democracy is not a spectator sport. You know, let your voice be heard.
Absolutely. You know, and what our council is very good. They have a committee of like 3 or 4 councilmen, and they meet with advisors. You know, anybody can apply to become an advisor, say for fluke, sea bass, stripers, our reef program.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for advisors for the windmill right now. And then this committee meets, and they talk with the councilmen over the current options. And then after the meeting, they normally choose one in particular that they feel was favored by the option. And that becomes the standing motion for when the full council meeting begins. However, I've seen it overturned a couple times because public sentiment preferred the other option.
Exactly.
So it can happen. Your voice is very important, and this is your chance. Send the email in or attend the meeting and let them know your opinion. Don't just listen in on a meeting and not comment. That don't do any good. You have to speak up or at least write in.
I'm guilty of that. So I do the writing and things. Again, listeners, in the subject line, 2021 New Jersey Summer Flounder Options. The comment period is going to close at midnight, the 26th of February. Comments will need to be received prior to that time to be included in the management decision at the March 4th Marine Fisheries Council virtual meeting. Okay, so again, be a part of it. Paul, on the overall, again, fluke is, I mean, sea bass, there's so many sea bass, they can paint off the bottom of the boat, Paul. You know that. There's so many of them, but fluke is.
Right. The, so they actually become a nuisance at times. Yep. In the fall, I'm trying to fish deep water wrecks.
Right.
There's some that I have to move away from in September because all I'm catching is sea bass and I got to throw them all back.
Paul, in your opinion, would you say fluke is the piston in the recreational summer business, you know, the angling engine for the economy, the shore economies, and you know, everything involved? I mean, fluke is it, is it not?
Absolutely. Fluke is the most important species we fish for in New Jersey. It generates a lot of comments, and that's another thing or another reason why we support the later store. You know, we have tackle stores, marinas, and other businesses that depend on fishermen, and they'll suffer during the fall if regulations prohibit fishermen from being able to bring some fish home. You know, really, what is there to fish for an inshore or shore-based fisherman when sea bass is not open yet and fluke is closed? I mean, stripers seem to be showing up every year later. They don't really show up in force till November.
It
seems bluefish runs are a thing of the past, and we're only allowed to keep one blackfish.
That's right.
So, and the other thing is, you know, for surf casters, their best opportunity is probably catch legal fluke during the mullet run, and they enjoy doing that.
Paul, I've seen some fluke 4, 5, 6, 7 pounds caught from the suds, mostly on Hopkins, you know, in that fall period. Oh man, that is a hot time there for the bigger fluke for the beach based angler.
Right.
Now, this is, again, NJ Marine Fish public comment at dep.nj.gov. Again, in the subject line, 2021 New Jersey Summer Flounder Options. Let your voice be heard now. For that virtual, to find out more about that virtual meeting, go to njfishandwildlife.com/mcnclmtg.htm. Again, it's njfishandwildlife.com. It's a letter and, not the ampersand, /mcnclmtg.htm. Well, Paul, we're up against a hard break. Fill us in. What's happening with the JCA? You guys going full tilt boogie?
Well, we've been having virtual meetings, you know, via webinar and all, and we're doing what we can. You know, it's been a tough year for us.
Oh,
just
boy,
like a lot of the other businesses. In fishing, the charter and party boats, you know, they suffered. They were prohibited from fishing in the spring last year, which,
right.
you know, we didn't think was fair at all. And, we're hanging in there. We're hoping it will be a better year and we'll get this COVID, under control. We actually have two, fluke tournaments coming up.
There you go.
The heavy hitters, tournament is going to be, run from, August 5th to August 8th, and then we're going to have our traditional tournament this year on September 4th. We're looking to have it when COVID is hopefully definitely brought under control. And the exciting thing for us this year is that we're going to have the awards ceremony at Resorts Casino in Atlantic City on September 10th.
Nice. That's
we're back in Atlantic City. I think a lot of people will be happy to hear that.
Sure, and bring it back.
And we'll get a good crowd.
Well, I remember one JCA tournament I participated in, it was a morning fish. I had a bunch of stuff to do, and I forget which casino it was. Well, there ought to be 500, 600, 700 people. There were 1,000 boats involved. One, Gary Caputi was amazed at how much food I could consume. I was wiping out the hors d'oeuvre trays like there was no tomorrow.
I've heard rumors to that effect.
But, Paul, the JCA and the gifts you gave out, that was high octane, big time. Unfortunately, economic times would have you, COVID. It's really, really taking a shot. But listeners, get involved. Get involved with these two tournaments. A lot of fun. Money going to a good cause. Just a reminder, Paul, speaking of COVID, listen, the Governor's Surf Tournament, which was originally set for Sunday, May 23rd, has been rescheduled. It's been kicked back to October 25th. Go to njfishandwildlife.com for the skinny on that. Well, Paul, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio, bud. You have a great remainder. You and a lovely wife to the remainder of the winter. Spring will be here before you know it, Paulie.
Okay, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And by the way, let's get it out there. Paul Hartel is one hell of a steelhead and trout fisherman. How to get that in there, Hartel?
Thanks.
You take care, brother. Be
just
good.
Don't give away my spots.
What spot? I didn't hear anything. Okay, well, I'll see you, brother. Okay. Thanks again. Oh, wait, wait, Paul. Paul, jcaa.org, correct?
Yeah, but you'll actually get more information because I post it myself rather than having to go through the webmaster. Just go to our Facebook page, Jersey Coast Anglers Association. I'll have all the information about the fluke regs and how to comment and all that.
Okay, bingo. Wanted to get that in. Paul, you take care. Have a good weekend, brother. Okay. See
you. You too. Thanks. Bye.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Do you love a good cigar almost as much as your family? Well, maybe that's an exaggeration, but you can find that perfect cigar at Smoker's Haven. With 5 New Jersey locations, Smoker's Haven has the finest selection of cigars in the area, like Ashton, My Father's, Romeo and Julieta, Monte Cristo, and more. All from the finest tobacco leaves and hand-rolled by the world's finest cigar makers. All locations are fully open. Stop in and let them help you find the perfect cigar to pair with your life. See all they have and their locations at smokershavennj.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of February 20th and 21st. Hey, man, happy birthday, Ansel Adams. Tom P., who the hell is Ansel Adams? Photographer, man, one of the greatest wildlife photographers going. And he was a conservationist. I think he was born in 1903. And from what I understand, he used to either live and or hang out in Ocean City. It's just a little non sequitur. That was Paul Hartel, Jersey Coast Anglers Association, the Summer Flounder, a.k.a. Fluke Options. But NJFishAndWildlife.com, check it out. Get involved. Democracy is not a spectator sport, people. Get involved. Make your comments known. Hey, man, I felt the same way for years. My comment doesn't mean jack bleep. It doesn't. The fix is in, blah, blah. Hey, man, Paul made a couple of points in there where it actually has changed. Remember, these people work for us. And 99% of them are fishermen hunters as well. So they want the best that they can get, given what they're handed, okay, by the national councils or whatever up there. Hey, one day, get that weather, man, one day closer to spring, and I have to touch on it now because just reviewing and previewing what is waiting for us this spring and summer on Jersey's freshwater scene is nothing short of phenomenal. We have some fantastic freshwater fishing opportunities. Joining us now to talk about what's happening on the Jersey Sweetwater scene is longtime acquaintance, great guy, one hell of a fisherman himself, if I say so myself, is Sean Krause. He's a supervising biologist in fisheries with New Jersey Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, all under the umbrella of Division of Fish and Wildlife. Want to talk about what is happening not only in South Jersey, but around the state. We have some exciting stuff going on, kicking off with, okay, I sell crappies and I know all that stuff's coming, early bass, I know all that stuff's coming. April, is it April 1st now or April 10th? Oh, looks like we will have two opening days. In response to COVID, the Bureau has done another masterful job. Last year was sort of put together real quickly. They flushed it out a little bit. It looks going to be an incredible spring trout season, not only, you know, up north of Northern Street, but here in the central and southern tier counties as well. We did really well. Sean Krause, thanks for joining us, little brother. Glad to have you on Rack and Fin for the first time.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tom P. Nice to be with you.
Congrats making you climb the ladder, man. Listen, there's in the fisheries lab, there's a photo of Sean Krause in high school with a walleye posing with then director of Division of Fish, Game, and Shell Fisheries, Bob McDowell. Sean, I mean, I know you're driven, I know that, but did you ever think, hey, man, one step closer?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, from a young age, it was important to me to spend time outdoors. You know, fishing and hunting was who I am. And, you know, if I could combine that into a career of science, that was definitely a dream come true. And, you know, I've been living that dream for the past 20 years with the Division of Fish and Wildlife, you know, for the most part, loving every minute of it.
Yeah, listen, it's, I mean, and show them to get the, I'll do that. For example, in November, 3 and 4 foot waves, wind blowing out across Round Valley Reservoir. What a funnel. Setting and checking gill nets. Mary Mother of God. I did that a couple of times. I said, this kid's crazy. Well, so let's get back to the trout right now. Sort of an improvement from last year, which was what the Bureau had to do with the COVID thing, came out pretty damn good. This year, it looks like the same thing. Now, what's happening?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there were a lot of uncertainties with this global pandemic that we're all in. So, you know, we had to think on the fly. We had to think about, you know, what's best, not just for hatchery staff, you know, but first and foremost, what's good for New Jersey anglers. And you know, we didn't want to take any chances, you know, with all these unknowns. So we wanted to make sure we get those fish out there for everybody to enjoy. And it really seems like it worked. I mean, last year, license numbers are in, and across every category, license sales are up from 15 to 20%. But whether we're talking resident licenses,
non-resident
licenses, across the board, you know, this pandemic has hurt a lot of people. But I can definitely say that it seems like people are finding, you know, a renewed appreciation for the outdoors.
And Sean, especially down here in the southern tier counties, I mean, we get to fish, you know, I fished Pond Lodge in Cape May, Tuckahoe Lake there in Cape May, Swedesboro, like I get all over. I just love it. Sean, a big turnout last year, especially that little period, listeners, again, was catch and release and for the first few days before the actual formal opener. And Sean, right into the end of April, people were catching trout all over the place. And it was great to see.
Yeah, there was a lot of positive feedback. People really seem to like some of the decisions we made. And that's where we're looking to, you know, follow through here in 2021. We're looking to establish that preseason stocking 1 week earlier than usual. Typically in a year, we'd be looking to start 3 weeks before opening day. Now we're starting 4 weeks before. So preseason stocking will begin for trout on March 15th.
Right.
Corresponding with that, the Fish and Game Council has approved to close those waters to fishing on March 15th. Now, you know, it would be nice to get the anglers out there fishing during that same time. But, you know, we do have to look out for the safety of our staff.
Sure.
And we really wanted to have that 2 week grace period, you know, from March 15th to April 1st, where we can, you know, just get as many trucks out, you know, High Point to Cape May.
Yeah.
Get them all out there. As effectively as we can.
Listen, 10 trucks full of trout are rolling. These aren't just filled with the standard. You know, the standard April production was at 9.5 showing to 11 inches. You have the spent breeders in there that are part of the program. 2% of most every payload will get that until they run out. Also, Sean, now the bonus broodstock program has been canceled. Listen, this is where 10 lakes and ponds around the state, I guess 3 North, 4 Central, whatever it was, were received anywhere from 30, predicated on the size, the water body size, 30 to 50, again, jumbo breeders. And now, Sean, that's been scotch because?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, the bonus broodstock has been a highly successful program. I can tell you that year after year, whenever we pick these 10 water bodies that rotate around, we see increased angling activity on those water bodies.
Oh, yeah.
For example, if you were to go out to one of these ponds that is not stocked with the bonus broodstock, you know, you might see 75 or 100 people there. When we pick these waters specifically, that number almost doubles.
Yep.
You know, where you'll have, you know, 150 to 200 anglers out there. And, you know, we love to see that. That's a good thing. However, during this global pandemic, you know, the notion of social distancing is important, and we have to comply, and we have to do what we can to essentially spread out the anglers. Now, I'll tell you what, as a fisherman myself, I don't want to go to a place that has 200 people. I'd rather have the fish spread out a little bit more myself. So I can tell you that, you know, last year we did it. This year we're doing away with the bonus broodstock. But it's not like those fish aren't going to get utilized.
Right. Oh, exactly.
You mentioned the number 2%, and that's accurate. About 2% of all of our trout loads do have these you know, 14 to 18 inch fish on them. And I guess you could say a silver lining in spreading those out and not selecting those bonus broodstocks is that means every single water is going to get more broodstock.
Yep. Exactly
so that,
right.
So that 2% number actually climbs a little bit.
Well, listen, let me throw some numbers at you right now. Before, by that April 1st, catch and release. Now, April 1st to April 9th, catch and release only. If you're going to use the power bait and all that stuff, go with a barbless circle hook. Easy peasy. Easy. Just if you're going to be using a spinner or the trout magnet, a good friend of mine, Jeff Smith, runs that company. He now has barbless trout magnet jig heads. Pinch the barb down. Spinner, cut one of those trebles off. Pinch the barbs down. Keep your hands wet. Trout will survive that. Don't go too rough with them, but they will survive. And with the circle hooks, with the power bait or salmon eggs under a bob or whatever, it's going to, 99% of the time, it's going to turn around and hook them into joy. Here, let me give you some numbers. I think, Sean, by that April 1st preseason opener, something along the lines of, I think, 360,000 trout will be stocked. And by, listeners, by April 10th, the full load of 500,000 trout will be released. Now, the baseline is 70,000, okay, for the spring. And there's always more. Shout out to Ed Conley up there and that PeQuest crew. I mean, it's like the loaves and the fishes. I'm getting a little biblical here. They keep overproducing. And now those are going to be safe for what I believe, preliminary news, the week of May 10th, okay, for an additional stock. So that's going to bring the baseload, fill the baseline, 570,000 plus beautiful rainbow trout going out. But by April 10th, the full 500,000 fish will be out there in the assorted, 170, 165, whatever venues around the state.
Yeah, it's going to be a good thing.
That's a lot of fish, Kraus.
We got a lot. Well, that should be of no surprise. You know, we have got a world-class program here in New Jersey, and you know, we put the anglers right there at the front of it. So there's no doubt. As far as April 10th, I think there's a little bit of wiggle room with, I'm sorry, not April 10th, the May, that week of May 10th. I think there's a little bit of wiggle room there. Hasn't quite been decided which week that's going to be, so stay tuned. But, you know, there'll certainly be a lot of fish out there. And just so you know, we have manipulated the stocking schedule to a way where, you know, all these water bodies are going to receive at least a portion of their allocation before April 1st.
Wow. Yo.
So good. Even though we're not going to be releasing exact schedules, you know, we don't want, you know, under the pandemic, we don't want the truck followers and all that stuff.
That
so
drives me nuts. That drives me crazy, Kraus.
Yeah. Different strokes for different folks.
The one guy says, I said, dude, what are you following? You know, it's Friday. They're stocking, for example, the big flapper. We have the cabin up there, right? The property. What? Yeah, but I want to make sure they put all the trout out. What are you, crazy? Of course they're going to put the trout out. And I looked at the driver. I don't want to mention his name. Big guy, as in about 6'5 or 6. I said, how do you? He just shakes his head and says, I see him every year. Hey, at least he's still alive and buying a stamp.
Well, and I just wanted to touch on the one other aspect of that where, you know, all waters are going to be open to catch and release on April 1st. And, you know, that's just a phenomenal time. You know, you see people out there just catching fish after fish after fish, you know, without the notion of anybody, you know, without anybody, you know, keeping those fish ahead of time.
Right.
With the opening day, with, you know, the traditional opening day on April 10th, you know, where everything goes back to normal with your, you know, 6 trout a day limit.
Right.
And everything, so.
Yeah, listen, speaking with Sean Kraus, supervising biologist with Fisheries, New Jersey Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries under the umbrella of Division of Fish and Wildlife. Sean, we're up against a hard break, little brother. When we come back, let's talk South Jersey bass. You got it?
Sounds good.
Okay, people, grab that cup, grab that rail. We'll be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio, 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
Fox News, I'm Jill Nato. Johns Hopkins University says the U.S. is on the verge of 500,000 deaths from COVID. During a tour of a Pfizer plant making COVID vaccine, President Biden spoke about that number.
That is almost 70,000 more than all the Americans who died in World War II over a 4-year period.
He urged people to get the vaccine when they're eligible for it. The power may be back on for most of Texas, but this week's storms produced a new crisis, a water shortage. Bursting pipes leaving many homes high and dry. These Houston residents, grateful the city set up a water distribution site.
I'm telling you, you appreciate water when you don't have it.
Now when it's gone, you realize how precious it is.
Millions of Texans still under a boil water alert. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Cold overnight as clouds break up, low 28. Saturday brisk and cold with sunshine and patchy clouds, the high 34. Clear on Saturday night, cold, low 23. Sunday, plenty of sun, high 37. Some rain is expected Monday, the high 44. I'm AccuWeather's Kurt Babinski on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Jersey on the line is Sean Krause. Sean, we're going to talk South Jersey bass, largemouth bass fishing down here. Sean, we have some venues that, I mean, some of the best in the state, okay? And now, you know, again, we have Great Lakes statewide listeners. Again, Jersey is a small state. You can be anywhere within a couple of hours. But, Sean, South Jersey has some surprisingly great fishing and only really one or two big waters, aka like Union Lake or Lake Lenape, and it just keeps producing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, largemouth bass is king, right?
Oh yeah,
across the country, you know, the number one sport fish, most economic impact for folks. You know, largemouth bass is really where it's at, and you know, our bass biologist Chris Smith, you know, he's been doing a great job for 20 years.
Oh yeah,
he's out there. You know, spring, summer, fall, he's out there, you know, conducting electrofishing surveys, monitoring our populations, keeping an eye on tournament results.
He stopped. I don't know if he's still doing it. He was Jersey Bass Angler of the Year a couple of years back when. And he's one hell of a bass fisherman himself on the tournament circuit. Yeah, man, he's an animal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he's definitely on top of it. You know, he's out there. Sampling populations, understanding, you know, what we can do to improve things, you know, where the regulations have to be to maximize the potential for bass fishing across the state. And, you know, and things are good. You know, people mm-hmm. ask us, hey, you know, what can we do to improve bass fishing? I tell you what, you know, when people say fishing in New Jersey has never been better, I think they're right.
This is true. Well, Sean, there are special regulation waters, as they're called, the Lunker Bass Lakes. Two south, one central, and I guess three north. You have Alloway Lake, Assunpink up there in Monmouth County, Parvin Lake, and Delaware Lake right off Route 80. I see it every time I'm zipping up there. And also Split Rock Reservoir. Now you have conservation regulations at Riker Lake, also up north. I believe that's Passaic County. Well, Sean, what about, you know, me, over our many, many discussions over the many years, I really eschew like special more regulation, but I run into so many people. Hey, Tom P., what do you think about, again, giving the bass a break? Some more special regulations on some great waters that we have down here. Who really keeps, well, you have the bucket guys, I get that. But, I mean, there are, and I don't even think it'll affect, Sean, from my opinion, angler participation. In fact, it may increase it. Are there any plans on the board for some other lakes in Central and South Jersey going under maybe Lunker Bass Lake regulations?
Yeah, we're actually taking a real close look at that right now. Mm-hmm. Over the last 2 years, we've been revising our warm water fisheries management plan. Now it's going to end up to be a pretty large document in which we are going to be really, you know, putting all of our programs under the gun. We're going to mm-hmm. be taking a look at bass regulations, seeing what we can do to improve populations. You know, to see what's going to be palatable to anglers, and we're not ready to really release any of that information now.
Sure, yeah.
It's kind of in it's in its infancy. But I can tell you that we've been having meetings, we've been having lots of discussions. You know, everything from, you know, large lake and reservoir management down to small ponds, you know, mm-hmm. in urban park settings,
right.
Little county park ponds and things like that. But no, that's one thing you can rest assured that we're always doing what we can to try to improve fishing for New Jersey's anglers.
Sure, a little non sequitur. You talk about hiding in plain sight. Some of the bass I see caught, and even I've caught out of some of these suburban and urban ponds, Mary Mother of God. I mean, five pound bass. I mean, cars going by, buses going by. What do you? Yeah, you know, people think, well, stock trout in the spring, maybe in the fall, and then sunnies and bullheads for the kids. Ooh, you know, those waters are sorely overlooked. I don't know why I just put that out there, Kraus. I think I just kicked myself in the ass there. Sean, one thing that sort of, because the effort that was made, and shout out again to Chris Smith and retired lands management guy Lee Widgeskog. I mean, the work that went into Lake Audrey, trying to transform that, a former gravel pit, whatever, sand pit, into a viable smallmouth fishery. It was so cool to be catching smallmouth bass and smelling Delaware Bay, here in Delaware Bay. And that went, it was going gangbusters and went down the toilet, boom. Are there any plans? Again, you said it's in infancy, can't, you know, reveal it yet. But are there plans to maybe get a smallmouth water up and running here in the Southlands?
Well, you know, I mean, these ideas have been bouncing around for a long time, right? You know, notions of adding new species to new waters to provide new opportunities. You know, that's nothing new. You're right, Audrey, you know, was a great thing. It's got some really good things going for it. Just talking to some fishermen last week. You know, some of the numbers of largemouth bass that were reportedly caught, you know, this past season, you know, is really eye opening, to show you, you know, a liming project like that, how effective it can be.
Right.
You know, the first couple years, after we had relocated a bunch of bait fish over into Audrey and began stocking smallmouth bass, like they really took off. The growth was phenomenal.
Yep.
And we were really excited for it to be such a unique opportunity. And then, you know, largemouth got in there. And, you know, the simplest way to put it is, I mean, we, you know, as a fisheries manager, your biggest job is to, you know, to try to, you know, find a balance, find, you know, both, you know, recreational, conservational, and really try to maximize, you know, maximize the sport. But with everything, there's something lost. And, you know, the smallmouth bass population that was looking really good, started to go downhill once, mm-hmm. extra competition was exerted upon them by the largemouth bass that got in there.
And Sean, in your opinion, you're really getting saying, I'll say it, people. I know some guys who I know of them, know some of them, deliberately put largemouth in there. That smallmouth is an effing invasive species, the one guy said, breathing beer on me. And we're going to get rid of them. I said, well, no, there's so much for that. Unfortunately, Sean, as a minute percentage of the bass fishing clubs and the hardcore bass guys and gals are down, that can turn the tide. That just, to me, that kind of was the catalyst in ruining that fishery. My opinion.
Yeah, you know, and it doesn't take much. You know, there's not a lot of water bodies that can support, you know, a high number of a diverse, you know, former predators. Mm-hmm. And you know, with everything gained or something lost, you know, whether we're talking about competition between largemouth and smallmouth, other esophagids like northern pike or muskie, you know, you can start talking walleye, everything down to some of our, you know, up and coming, you know, recently invaded invasive species, mm-hmm. you know, like the flatheads and the snakeheads.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I for one choose not to be greedy in my fisheries management. I think you want to, you know, keep things simple. You know, not every place can be a trophy fishery for every species. And if you try to make it that, you're more than likely going to end with kind of mediocrity.
Excellent point, Sean. Excellent. We're speaking with Sean Kraus. He is a supervising biologist in fisheries, New Jersey Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries under the Division of Fish and Wildlife umbrella. Sean, you mentioned esophagids. Let's talk about a little bit. This is the closest you're going to get muskies and some big ones at that. Mercer Lake up there again in Mercer County on the outskirts of Trenton. Now, Sean, over the years, and a shout out to retired reef chief, as I call him, and former Southern Region freshwater biologist Hugh Carberry and Chris Smith, who was just starting at the time. Esophagids in the form of muskies and northern pike were tried in South Jersey. I believe still some tiger muskies surplus are stocked, the DOD and whatever. That program, again, had a lot of promise and just, boom, it vanished. What were the underlying causes of the failure of that?
Yeah, I mean, habitat is basically where you're at. If you look at any, you know, Google any map and look at the native range of northern pike and of muskie, and you're going to see that they're a northern tier fish. You know, we like to stretch things. We like to push the envelope. We like to try to, you know, provide new opportunities for people.
Sometimes
when you put it this way, you put fish in a marginal habitat, you're going to get marginal results. It's really not rocket science at that point. And we've been trying, for years, decades, experimenting, trying, different fish species in different waters. And, at the end of the day, it's no surprise the types of waters that produce the best fish. It's really not shocking, when you understand the life history requirements, habitat, forage that's necessary to support these species. And, that's why, throughout the southern tier of Jersey, whether you're talking the Cohansey River, Sunset Lake, Morris River, Rancocas, Salem Canal.
Cooper River Park. Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, you can stock fish anywhere and they, may or may not thrive. But, we're pretty confident, we've been at this for a long time. And, it's really no surprise, when some of these places don't produce the fisheries, that people would want. And that's why, we're a professional agency. We know what we're doing. We've been trying to really key in and maximize those places that have that highest potential.
Mm-hmm.
We did a very thorough cool water assessment. I think it was from the years like 2014 to 2017.
Right, I remember that.
We sampled all these waters, across the state that have, walleye and northern pike and muskie, and some places, like I'm saying, it wasn't very surprising when you tease out the most successful fisheries versus the least successful, and unfortunately, in a state like New Jersey. Your most suitable habitat is in the northern portion.
Well, Sean, even in some of the waters that had marginal too, okay, they could survive in here. People, the Osakas, especially the muskies, man, they're not sedentary fish. They're pretty much escape artists. I mean, they moved. Most people figure they moved right into some bass guys I spoke to that fish those water exclusively. Surmise that they moved into the main stem of the Delaware itself.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, fisheries management is about competition, right? When you're going to sit here and you're going to, promote the idea of stocking muskie into a bass lake, everything gained. Well, no, I'm not saying you.
No, but something just came to mind. I'll touch it. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, with everything gained is something lost, and, the competition, can be a powerful, force within fisheries management. And, many times, bass fishing, is by far, more popular on a per capita basis than other species like muskie and walleye. So, when you have a good thing going in a particular water body, maybe it's a popular tournament location. Maybe it's a great place for families.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to weigh, is it worth messing that up?
Well, Sean, walking the tight wire, you've been used to that now for how many years? I mean, that's just part of the gig. We're speaking with Sean Krause, supervising biologist with fisheries, New Jersey Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries. Topic is the great freshwater fishing opportunities here in New Jersey, from Pond Lodge, Ponte de Villas, and Cape May, straight up to Stokes and Soma Lake and High Point, everywhere in between. Showing some of the great South Jersey waters down here. Again, you mentioned Sunset, like Mary Elma, right above it, right through the canals up there, right above there. So Sean, the Salem River, Mary Mother of God, just some great largemouth fishing in there. The DOD lakes. So there's plenty of opportunities here. And again, you can only maximize it to a certain degree. You can't overmanage it, I think. So seems to be working fine as far as that's concerned, no?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Okay, Sean, people want to get involved. Okay, let your voice be heard again, as with Marine Fisheries with the Summer Flounder. Contact Division of Fish and Wildlife. You have a great opportunity. Sean, I believe next Saturday is a virtual fisheries forum. Give us a skinny on that, brother. Go.
Yeah, no, that's right. We most years we have a northern forum and a southern forum, but now, with the pandemic, we decided to go virtual, and there's no need to hold one in the north, one in the south. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a meeting starting at 10 a.m. February 27th. It's going to be on a go-to meeting. You can go to our website and you can find the link information. At that meeting, we're going to provide division updates, Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries updates, and maybe some things that we're thinking in our new warm and cold water fisheries management plans.
Great.
Some actions that we're thinking of taking. We're going to have, as always, a great presentation by the Hackettstown Hatchery staff on warm water fish production.
Right.
And as
job.
Always, and they're going to have, you know, tons of pictures of large fish caught by New Jersey anglers in New Jersey, you know, during 2020. And then we're going to wrap it up with a short presentation on potential impacts of climate change to New Jersey's freshwater fish. And it's all going to conclude with an open Q&A period. So, you know, whether you have questions about regulations, stocking programs, anything and everything freshwater fisheries, you know, tune into that meeting. This should be a blast.
Again, listeners, 10 a.m. February 27th. More information on that, go to njfishandwildlife.com. They're going to have some more information on that. And like I busted Hartel, okay, busted him open on that with a big saltwater guy, Todd Fluke, whatever the whole bit. Let it be known, he's a hell of a trout and steelhead guy. I'm busting you out on this one, Krause. Listeners, very few people in the state of New Jersey, if not the entire Northeast region, can catch channel catfish like Sean Krause. Big ones! I have some photos of you, Krause. These things were like as long as my leg. Mary, mother of God, you really do it, man. And you got your boys doing it too. That's great.
Oh, that's what it's all about. It's all about the next generation, getting those kids off the video games and getting them, you know, on the water.
Again, listeners, go to njfishandwildlife.com. Anything you want to know about freshwater, hit the freshwater fishing link on the left. They'll have trout there, have freshwater. Check out, too, really, the Hackettstown Hatchery. Shout out to Craig Lemon up there, the superintendent. Sean, a yeoman's job. I mean, that group puts out some amount of, across the board, northern pike, walleyes. You got the hybrid stripers. You got the channel cats. I mean, the tiger muskies, pure stray muskies. It's crazy.
No, it's a phenomenal operation, you know, run by even better people, you know. Yep. They do a tremendous job out there, put their heart and soul into the job every single day. And, you know, sometimes it could be very unrewarding, but all you have to do is, you know, send some pictures in of some of the big fish you catch, and it certainly makes it all worth it.
Listen, freshwater fishing in the Garden State has never been better. Get the license, get the trout stamp. You don't have to get the trout, you know, trout fish, fine. The warm water and cool water opportunities are just phenomenal. Sean, thanks for joining us. Best of the family. Hope to see you one of these days on the water. Where, I have no idea, because you're omnipresent, Krause. You're everywhere, like an amoeba. You are everywhere, brother. Sean, you take care. Thanks again, brother. See you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Sean Krause. Great. Great. I've known Sean since he started Division of Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, way back when. Man, is getting it done. Okay, man, I'm going to wrap it up. Next segment, Rack and Fin Radio. Be right back.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
Enjoy an evening of Motor City Live with Motown's classic hits performed live in sound waves at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Atlantic City. Step back in time with the classic songs you love to remember, such as Please Mr. Postman, This Old Heart of Mine, Jimmy Mac, Money, That's What I Want, and so many more of the legendary Motown hits in an all-new live show every weekend in sound waves. For tickets, visit HardRockHotelAtlanticCity.com, where you take the stage for good, clean fun.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
And that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Again, let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard. Summer flounder. The options, and also on the freshwater fisheries end of thing. Comment, ask questions. That's how you get results. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. 95.5.